classes on the subject of spiritual gifts. We'll discuss, so we'll have some time today and then next week, and then there'll be a third and final class on this topic on May the 15th. Today we're going to try to lay some of the groundwork. Next week we'll have a lot more discussion, so bear with me this week as we try and lay the groundwork and establish kind of a point of reference on this particular subject. So just before we begin, let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we do pray that you would teach us to know more about you and to understand how you have appointed us for service in your kingdom work. Thank you for the many instructions you give us in your word. So as today, as we survey those, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and mold and shape us according to your perfect will and providence, asking that you would do so for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. We pray in his name. Amen. I do want to just ask your indulgence as we go through a lot of stuff today, just to kind of set the stage. And then next week we'll have a lot more interaction, because this is one of those subjects that there is a lot of different perspectives. There's a lot of different views. And so the way to begin, I think, is to see what it is that says in God's word about spiritual gifts. And so we're just going to jump right in here. Our purpose is to really try to understand what God means when he talks about spiritual gifts and how those are distributed among his people. We'd like to be able to examine ourselves, each one of us individually, and maybe to some extent collectively, to discern what gifts God has given us. Then seek to try and apply those gifts. We a year ago, we talked about the ministry vision and ministry plan for College Hill RP Church, and we'll make some references to that. We'll have some accountability here, because we can each help each other identify our own spiritual gifts and develop those and encourage each other in the use of those, and to become more zealous for good works is what the Lord says in his word that he calls his people to do. And of course, all of this with the goal of glorifying God and enjoying him. As I said, last year about this time, we were kind of unveiling a next generation of ministry vision and plan. And there's still more of that to go. Obviously, a part of that is the call of another pastor. And there's other things as we look at facility needs. But we had a lot of discussion and dialogue at that time about these four different focus areas: worship, fellowship, community, and fellowship and community, nurture, service, and outreach and evangelism. And we talked about all the things that we had already been doing or had recently been doing. And then there was a list of things in each of those categories that we were contemplating or thinking about adding to the dimensions of our ministry here. So this is the question. We come to the subject of spiritual gifts. Why are you here? Why are we here? What is the work that we're called to do? And in Ephesians 4, we have these two verses: speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. So grow up, that's the first point. Unto him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We could spend our entire day just on this verse. We got several dozen other verses we're going to try to get through. But we're fitted together, joined together. This is the work of a master carpenter, as he is making the joints and designing them and fitting them together and shaping each piece that fits together, so that when it's working properly, it makes the body grow and is built up in love. So why are we here? There is I think this might be a prior version of my presentation. But let me just ask this question about why we're here. And there's something that has puzzled me since the time I've been attending here these last few years about the architecture of this church. And I don't know if it's puzzled you, but I've always wondered what the purpose of these little diamonds are. Have you ever noticed those? Have you ever wondered those? They don't fit with anything else in this building. In the architectural survey that you might make of the building and the beauty of this building, these, I just wonder why they're there. It's an attempt to try and mimic these shapes up here, these diamond shapes here, But when you look at these and look at these, there's a certain elegance that's missing. There's a certain fit with the even the color of the stain. Now, I'm convinced that all of this is not original to the building. The choir loft and the pulpit area is not original. But it just makes me wonder why that. And I know it's kind of an attempt to look like that. And I look at all the messages that are embedded in the glass and this arch, this pointed arch that's here. What we might call these Trinity triangles of the scissors trusses and things like that. I think of the scallops in these windows, scallops on the pulpit furniture, scallops on the end of the pews, scallops in the windows up there. Think of those little kind of vases with that flame that's pointed out, kind of a lamp, I suppose. Kind of image reflecting this arch. This arch is reflected in all these windows. It's reflected in the back window, that beautiful big archway there, and these Westminster columns that are on here. You see a story when you look around a facility like this. You see how it all works together. Now, so when we hear Titus preach, we're not to be paying attention to those diamonds that are back there. It is an attempt to try to reflect those, but that is so much, that's more of a triangle, actually, that comes together in to create this diamond shape. I don't want to get stuck on that. The point is, there has to be a purpose. There has to be a reason why and how everything fits together. Go ahead, Roy. You didn't build those, did you? No? Okay. Now we know. All right. Thank you for that. Okay. Spiritual gifts. Would somebody just stand up and read these three verses for me? Just, we're going to do a lot of this. So get ready. Stand up. One of your spiritual gifts is reading. Just stand up and read these three verses, if you would, please. Go ahead. Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. And so that's one of the reasons why we study this question. We want to be informed. We want to understand how God has prepared us and equipped us. And if we were to really exhaust this subject, we could pursue a lot of these other topics. We're going to touch on some of these over on the right-hand side. But there is so much more to our spiritual gifts than we tend to think about. And Paul's saying, I long to be with you to impart some spiritual gift so that we might encourage each other. He was not only looking to impart some spiritual gift of his own, but he was looking for that reciprocal sharing in those spiritual gifts with the people that were there. Well, College Hill RP Church. My assessment, our assessment, as we've talked about some of these things as elders and as I kind of step back and look, it is a congregation that has people with many, many, many gifts. This is a very highly gifted congregation. There's so much potential here. There's so many gifts as we just look around this room and even for the people that aren't here. And I think we have been seeking opportunities to deploy our gifts. Maybe we have too many options that we're trying to do. I think we desire to have a better understanding of what our spiritual gifts are and how those are worked out in the life of the church. And I think we have members that really aren't using all their gifts. Maybe it's because we don't know what they are or haven't really sharpened them or honed them or haven't really fitted those into the right channel and the right way they can be used. And I think we are willing and able and ready to encourage one another in the use of these gifts so that we can resolve ourselves to apply these gifts in love. You can see those this pointed arch here, too, by the way. This is back when we had a sign out front, so that was in a former era. Some definitions. You can find lots of definitions out there of what spiritual gifts are. John Owens, a spiritual gift is an ability divinely bestowed and sustained to grasp and express the realities of the spiritual world and the knowledge of God in Christ for the edifying of others and of oneself. So there is a purposefulness, the spiritual dimensions of this life. We see the three dimensions of space, that we have here, but there is a spiritual dimension in all of life. Nelson's Dictionary, spiritual gifts are special gifts bestowed by the Holy Spirit upon Christians for the purpose of building up the church. And spiritual gifts are very varied endowments graciously bestowed by the triune God upon individual Christians, but particularly intended to enhance the community, worship, and service of locally gathered Christians and thereby enrich the whole church. There's so many different possible definitions. Let's now look at some of the questions that begin to emerge when we think about spiritual gifts. Now, we're going to hope to get to some of these questions in discussion form next week. But as you talk to anybody, if we were to break into small groups and say, OK, what questions do we have about spiritual gifts? What would they be? This is some of them. Well, what is a gift? Tell me, what's the list of gifts? And what are spiritual gifts? How are they distinguished from gifts? And are all gifts spiritual? If I happen to be a really good pole vaulter, is that my spiritual gift? I'm not, but does every believer have a gift? Does every believer have multiple gifts? What does the scripture say about that? And is our gift the same as our calling and vocation? If I am a really good baker, is that my spiritual gift as well? What is different about gifts given to believers compared to those that are given to every man? I know a person who's very hospitable. He doesn't happen to be a believer. He's also a good encourager. These are some of the spiritual gifts. How does my spiritual gift differ from his spiritual gift if they're not in Christ? And how is a gift distinguished from just an ability? I'm a really good piano player. I'm not. But if I was a really good piano player, how is that different from everybody else that's a piano player? And interest in our talents. And how are spiritual gifts distinguished from natural gifts? Things that we're born to do, be an athlete or be a public speaker or whatever. How are our spiritual gifts distinguished from those? And how are spiritual gifts distinguished from the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, those kinds of things. How do those come into play when we talk about spiritual gifts? Are the fruit of the Spirit spiritual gifts, or is that something different? And how are we to know whether or not we have a particular gift or multiple gifts? So as you could see, we could spend the rest of the year in good discussion, sharpening each other and encouraging each other. We're going to get to some of these next week, but I want to continue to lay the foundation. So somebody else, rise up and talk about how our gifts work in the area of good works. Read these four verses. There's a purposefulness about our good works, giving glory to God. It's not to bring glory to ourselves. That's not the purpose. That's not why we're here. We are to be introspective and to develop and understand what our gifts are. God has given. He's the workman. He's the craftsman who has given and endowed us with these various gifts. And we're to be rich in good works, generous, ready to share, sharing all that we have, sharing the things that God has given to us. And to be zealous for good works. This isn't to be, I guess I could probably help out next Saturday. No, this is to seek after, to be forward-leaning, being zealous for good works, applying these things, these opportunities of service and the outworking of these gifts for us. Somebody stand up and read these verses, if you would. Still continuing in good works.
So as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Luke 4:8. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve."
Again, continuing this focus of good works. And we're going to come back and get into spiritual gifts and fruits of the Spirit and things like that and how they work themselves out. But in this way, we're being fruitful, this working out of these things in our lives. And there is a community work here. We're considering, how can I really help you, or how can you help me encourage us in the use and the deployment of these gifts, and to focus and continue that the good work of the church, not only in this congregation, but across the work of the church. So what is meant by good works? We could spend a lot of time on these. Let me just read this paragraph 3. This is Westminster Confession of Faith. By the way, see the windows? Our windows are mirrored here in this, in these columns of the Westminster Avenue. There's that pointed arch as well. This church reflects the Westminster Confession. But paragraph 3 says, of good works, their ability to do good works is not at all of themselves, but wholly from the Spirit of Christ, and that they may be enabled thereunto, beside the graces they have already received, there is required an actual influence of the same Holy Spirit to work in them to will and to do of His good pleasure. Yet are they not hereupon to grow negligent, as if they were not bound to perform any duty unless upon a special motion of the Spirit, but they ought to be diligent in stirring up the grace of God that is in them. And so this idea that we have these gifts and there is an outworking of these things for good works, they are given and sustained by God. We are to seek after the use of them, not waiting for that special movement of the Holy Spirit. This is kind of there's a constancy about this. Somebody read these 4 verses, if you would.
Ephesians 6:7, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Revelation 2:19, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. Isaiah 14:3, when the Lord has given you rest from your pain and turmoil and the hard service with which you were made to serve.
So the Lord has called us to serve together. Yes, we're going to have a certain self-inspection, self-assessment about what gifts God has given me. But we ought to do this as couples or as families as well, or as neighbors. What could we do together? We are serving God together. He's appointed us to His service. And this is the Lord's commendation to Thyatira. Titus preached on this recently. He goes on to call them out for the things that they weren't doing. But he said, I see your good works. So there should be evidence, that public evidence of the good works of any individual congregation. And so when we work together, how do we work together? This is chapter 26 of the Confession of the Communion of the Saints. We're united to Jesus Christ, our head, by His Spirit and faith, and have fellowship with Him in His graces, sufferings, death, resurrection, glory. And being united to one another in love, we have a communion in each other's gifts and graces, and are obliged to the performance of such duties, public and private, as do conduce to their mutual good, both in the inward and outward man. And saints by profession, we're bound to maintain a holy fellowship and communion in the worship of God and in the performing of such other spiritual services as tend to their mutual edification for one another, as also in relieving each other in outward things according to their several abilities and necessities, which communion, as God offereth opportunity, is to be extended to all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So there is an application of our spiritual gifts one for another. And as we stir one another up, and then as that spills outside the walls of the church, and as we serve in the community, as we seek to see Christ honored and lifted up and exalted, we're seeing this camaraderie, this teamwork, this family outworking of our collective and individual spiritual gifts. Okay? Somebody...
stewards of our gifts. 29. There's so many different dimensions to this topic. It really is pervasive in Scripture, and so we've just picked a few of these summary passages to make reference to. We'll look at some more in detail next week. But if you've received a gift, use it. Use it to serve one another and being good stewards of God's varied grace. And so we're to just think of ourselves as servants, think of ourselves as stewards. We've been giving something. We have to employ it or deploy it, and there is a purposefulness of it. Well, in order to be to serve as stewards in the pursuit of good works and the employment of our gifts, we have to learn what those gifts are and how those gifts are given to God's people and which ones He might have given to each one of us and to us collectively. So we have to be able to discern our particular gifts as individuals and as a congregation. Not every congregation is going to be alike. Not every individual is going to be the same in an individual company. We're fitted together for the purposefulness of Christ. And then we have to have a plan. That's why we started a year ago. We started longer than that ago. But how are we going to see the outworking of this? And it's important before we finish that plan to know what that collection of spiritual gifts are that God has given to this people so that we are being good stewards of that as a congregation. And then be diligent to pursue the employment of those gifts, serving according to the measure of our gifts and continuing to develop and apply. It isn't as if it's there it is, that's my gift, or these are my three gifts. No, we are to seek after others. We might help each other. We might encourage each other to grow in other dimensions of our life and continue to glorify God. Would somebody stand and read these verses? Such a hard thing.
Ezekiel 36:27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Ephesians 4:8. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And from Romans 12:6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them.
Again, just part of this context, God has equipped us, and then there is a work of the church in equipping the saints as well. But this first of all begins with the endowment by God for the gifts that He has apportioned to us. I really like this guy here. I think he's my favorite one. So there is this equipping that comes from God, and then there is an equipping activity or work of the church. John, you were about ready to stand as well. What's exciting about this is this is the plan of God as He has poured out upon His people these gifts and abilities for His own glory, for His own kingdom, for His own building up. And we might say this is kind of our guiding verse. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. There is just this kind of follow on obligation. You've received a gift, then use it. And use it in the service of the King. Well, let's talk about all. God gives gifts to all for the church. What does all mean? Well, all gifts that are mentioned in Scripture are present in the work of the church. Not all gifts are maybe present in every congregation. I wouldn't go so far as to say that. Some have struggles to try to keep up with the work that they are called to do. But all the gifts are present in the work of the church. And gifts are given to all God's people. We can't any of us sit on the bench. There are gifts given to all of God's people. None of God's people are given all gifts, not even Paul. There were he said, I wish everybody was like I am. He had many, many gifts. And we should seek to strive to live a life as Paul did in service of Christ. And all God's people are commanded to use the gifts they're given, and all means all. So all these gifts are present. Everyone has gifts, and we are to use those in the work of Christ and His church. What happens if we don't use our gifts? There is a spiritual law, a biblical law of atrophy and of judgment. Would somebody stand and read these three verses? Gail, go ahead. We don't want to be a people as Israel, suffering and experiencing the judgment of God, where He isn't using us in His service. He isn't pleased with us in His service. It isn't as if this is all on our own. No, He is working in and through us. But we know that there is a diligence here. There is an effort that has to be put forward in order to apply these gifts. We still have several slides to get through. Gail, you were going to stand. You want to read these verses? This is the ultimate gift. Not only has God graciously given us this gift of eternal life, this gift of the Spirit, but in the giving of that gift of the Spirit are spiritual gifts that He endows and portrays and reveals in and through His people. So we don't ever forget the context of our gifts, the spiritual gifts that God has given to us, is in His own love and affection toward us, an unlovely people, He has given us these responsibilities to carry out His work in the way in which He has prepared and gifted us. And I would say that it would be fair to say that love is the greatest gift. There are many dimensions of this, but when you begin to look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, which are two of the most commonly referred to passages in talking about spiritual gifts, what chapter comes in between those two? 1 Corinthians 13, math major. The chapter on love is fully fleshed out in the middle of this discussion that Paul is giving the church in Corinth on spiritual gifts. And this gift of love, this love of God towards us, and this seeking after the love that He has put within us and that we're to have measured and worked out in us. Somebody stand and read these five verses, if you would. You can see why it's easy to get excited about this topic, because if I had every power, if I had every possible prophetic power, think of all the prophets, if I had rolled those all up into one and have not love, I'm nothing. And then here in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14, having gone through this, what's called the love chapter, this writing about love, Paul says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. They're not separated. All the things that we do, and this is where we begin to get the overlap into the fruit of the Spirit, is done in love. That's our great motivation, the love of Christ in us and the love that we have for one another and for the work of the kingdom. We desire God's good gifts. We should desire those, and we give Him thanks. If somebody would stand and read those.
1 Corinthians 12:31.
Gotta stand. For those of you that have been in Joel's class in 1 Peter, this is that stonemason's work, that setting on the cornerstone of the church, Jesus Christ, and then every other stone fitted and apportioned according to that cornerstone. By the way, you know we have a cornerstone in this building? Yeah? What does it say? Do you know? Give us a date, a couple dates. Says College Hill Church of the Covenanters, and then it has a established date and an erected date. Well, it's kind of a cornerstone. It's really not on the corner, but we'll give them a pass on that. So this is earnestly desiring. This isn't just, okay, I've got this gift. No, we are again forward leaning on this subject of spiritual gifts, desiring that God would give us gifts, prepare us and use us in His kingdom work. There is this great blessing that we have in Christ, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we can ask God for these gifts. This isn't a passive activity necessarily. Would somebody stand and read these verses? Tucked in here before this golden rule is this idea that ask the Father, ask him what He would do. And God is able. We can test God in this. I mean that in the most positive way, that if God has said, I will equip my people, I will prepare my people, I will build my church, then why wouldn't he do that in and through us? Right here, right in this community, and as a body. How do our gifts help unify the body? Two spiritual references and one more recent reference, but would somebody stand and read the two verses that are at the top of this page? 1 Peter 3:8. Those of you that have been in Joel's class on 1 Peter, in one of the first, second week, he said, our relationship to Christ affects our relationship with one another, and our relationship with one another affects our relationship to Christ. This is just another way of saying what's being said in these passages. There is one body. We live in an age of a fractured church, but there still only is one church. There still only is one body. And there is a unity that we must be eager to maintain. And part of that unity is in the outworking of these gifts that have been given to us by God himself. Well, what is the ultimate goal of our service? Would somebody stand and read these verses? This probably goes without saying, but we don't talk about this subject. We don't study and discuss this subject without keeping that ultimate goal in mind, to glorify and enjoy Christ, that everything, in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So there is an ultimate objective that we have in all of this. Okay, so why are you here? There you are. We're living stones. We've been carefully selected for reasons. We were not all that pretty or attractive as stones, but God has shaped us and molded us and set us in place according to the chief cornerstone. And he has said, I have equipped you and I've placed you. So we really do need to think about this question. What are our gifts? What are our gifts as individuals, as families, as a congregation? And how do we develop those gifts? How can we help each other develop those gifts? And where are our gifts applied at College Hill RP Church? This is just a quick survey. Next week, we're going to look at some more detail at some of the passages that give us a lot more information about what the spiritual gifts are, what the gifts are that are mentioned in Scripture, and how we discern whether we have those. And we'll get back to discussing a little bit about some of those questions. So we have 5 minutes left. I really would like to get your thoughts as we think about this little bit of time we have next week and then 1 week in May on this subject. What questions or thoughts does this quick survey stimulate in your minds? Go ahead, Bill. Right.
Yeah. But that really impressed me, that whole thing. Now, I've read it how many times in my
the master builder and the architecture and the building of this body and how each piece plays its role. Of course, there's an analogy to the physical body as well. So very good. If you do study that, because that's where we're going to start next week. Jackie?
Your photo reminds me of flash mobs.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to run a little test someday, walk down to downtown Pittsburgh and stand there like this and see what happens. When we live our lives that way, when we're serving God, kind of looking heaven, we're working out that calling that He's given to us, and we're gonna have other people looking to see what it is we're looking at. What is it we're striving for? So go try that out someday. Just go down there and point and see if you can gather a crowd. Roy. Yeah, a good gift. Other thoughts on this subject? Any other questions, that list of questions that I had up there earlier? Any other questions you would add to that? We won't be able to exhaust it here, but I hope maybe it will continue to stimulate this ongoing dialogue among us.
I think your diamonds up there are diamonds in the rock.
Yeah, maybe so. Like all of us are. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
50 years ago, we didn't talk about this very much. We had to rediscover a missing element.
Right. I can see that. Yeah. Jill, Gail.
Another question, though, that I would ask would be what external and internal restrictions are often placed on not just recognizing, but utilizing?
Good question for us to think about. All right, well, we're going to start next week by going a little more detail. Yep. Father, we bow before You and we desire to be diligent, faithful stewards in Your service. We desire to do good works. We desire to point to Christ. We desire to build one another up and share in this great joy we have in Christ who has given all for us. So as we have this conversation, as we seek to study Your word, as we desire the development and deployment of these gifts, we can but ask Your blessing. In the name of Christ, amen. Thank you.